According to the schedule, we are going to spend 16 hours to learn the book of Ezekiel. I was reminded the last hour will be test. So we have 15 hours to learn the book of Ezekiel. Now let's come into the teaching material. The A7. A7, there's an appendix, and two pages. This information comes from a Bible handbook. The appendix try to give you an overall picture of the historical background now in the time of Ezekiel. First, we look into the historical setting and approximate date of the prophet. The division of the kingdom means divide into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. After Solomon passed away, and who succeeded him as a king? His son, right? Chinese say Luo Po An. And many people came to see him and demanded that the new king lower down their tax and lessen their burden, because Solomon imposed very high tax and require a lot of contribution from the people to establish a very mighty kingdom. And then the Roboam had two group of people as an advisor, just like the president in the United States, they have an advisor, right? One of the advisor is from his father, a more senior. And one of the advisor, he himself, his own selection, a more junior, more young people. But we know the advice from the senior one and the advice from junior one is quite different. The junior one say, "Oh, you have power, you have military, right? You are the king, so you just suppress them. Don't listen to them. You are the king." But the senior one know more about humanity. You know, if you want to be a king, the best way is what? Let the people honor you from the bottom of their heart. And you will be the king forever. So why not listen to them? And then reduce their tax. Reduce their burden. And they will support you to become a king. And then the king of Roman, who was very young. Do you know the young people always have pride inside, right? How can a king, I listen to you? I'm going to do the same thing like my father. If you don't want to listen, I just use the army to suppress you. Because of this decision, so the mighty kingdom split into two. One is a northern kingdom, one is a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom called Israel, and the southern kingdom called Judah. So this is a division of the kingdom. Now, in the approximately 933 BC. Next page, 8. Then, in the first column, you can see that Hosea, the last king of northern kingdom. And also, in the middle column, almost the same level of Hosea, you can see the end of the northern kingdom is 721 BC. That was the end of northern kingdom. But in the 734 BC, it's about 13 years earlier, a group of people was under captivity
So captivity of the northern Israel.
And then we look into the pattern the central column, the pattern. Jerusalem conquered. And then are burned the captivity. So from the 606 BC before Christ, the Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed. And so the Southern Kingdom was ended. And then start 70 years of captivity to Babylon. So from 606 to 536. Okay. But if you see the next page, A9, what happened to the 536 BC? The 536 BC is the rise of Persia. Now, so if you read the last chapter of Second Chronicle, what happened? Cyrus, the first king of Persia, after he became a king, and the Spirit of God moved him, so he gave a command, and asked the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and that was 536. So from 606 to 536 is 70 years captivity in Babylon. So this is the rough timetable of the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. Now, if we look into the central column, page A8, the rise of Assyria to the world power is around 900 BC. But if you look into almost the bottom, fall of Assyria. So later on, Assyria fall. The mighty kingdom declined. So in 607 BC, the rise of Babylon. Also, the Assyrian was dominate in that area from 900 BC to 607 BC. It's around 300 years. And then from 607 BC start the kingdom of Babylon. And then you look into page 8-9, the first line, the fall of Babylon in 536 BC. So the kingdom of Babylon, roughly in the time span of how many years? 70 years, around the 70 years. So the kingdom ended. So this is two major kingdoms mentioned in the Book of Prophet. And then if we look into the right column, you can see the different prophet. What is the sequence, a time sequence of different prophet? 875 BC, it's Elijah, and then followed by Elijah, and followed by Joel, and Jonah, Amos, Hosea, and then the major prophet, Isaiah. So the time of Isaiah was under the world power of Assyria. And then in 626, you can see there's a Jeremiah and Habakkuk.
and Obadiah. And then the pattern two, so Daniel, the prophet of Daniel and prophet of Ezekiel were contemporary, almost the same time. And they were under the kingdom of Babylon. So they were under captivity. And then 8-9, you can see the prophet of Haggai. Haggai was the one who rebuilt the temple, the prophet, and Zechariah. And the last one is Malachi, in the last book of Malachi. So this timetable tried to give us a picture of the historical background, the world manpower, and the prophet, and the two kingdoms. What is called relationship between them. If we understand about this in our mind, then it will help us to later on to understand what happened in the book of Ezekiel. Now we come back to the page of A1. The page of A1. The book of Ezekiel. The name of Ezekiel, God will strengthen. You know, from the whole book, we can see so difficult for Ezekiel to fulfill his task, to proclaim the warning to the Israelites. It's so difficult because people's hearts are hardened like a stone. So how can Ezekiel accomplish this? Especially, God wants Ezekiel to do a lot of things which is so difficult. A human being who was able to do so many difficult things, the reason is because God strengthened him. So the name of Ezekiel, God will strengthen. And later on, from we go through chapter 1 to the last chapter, we will see how was Ezekiel being called to serve him? And B, what was the servitude of Ezekiel? C, what was the life of Ezekiel? So after we go through the whole book, we'll come back to summarize from the book of Ezekiel to see the person. So we can learn from Ezekiel some of the very good point. And structure. If we want to study the whole book, one thing very important is we have to know the structure. If we know the structure, it's easier for us to understand the whole book in a very clear picture. So even Bible is a very spiritual book, but if you look into every book of the Bible, there is a structure. And the structure of a book can be separate into 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sections. And each section has different main topic, subtopic. So the structure will help us. Chapter 1 to chapter 24 is a warning before the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. So before the fall of Jerusalem, before the destruction of the temple, God knew is what's going to happen because God is omniscient. He knows everything. God can foresee the future, but we can forecast the future. What's the difference? Forecast of the future always has something wrong, right? You forecast the weather, or you forecast when California is going to have a big earthquake. Who can forecast? Who can predict? Nobody, right? This is a human being. We are limited. But God foresees what is going to happen in the future. So he conveys a message to Ezekiel and asks Ezekiel to warn the people. before the fall of Jerusalem, before the destruction of the temple. So this is chapter 1 to 24. And then from chapter 24 to 32, this is a judgment against the foreign nation. You see, there is a difference. When God treats His own chosen people, God gives them the warning first. Why God gives them the warning first? Because God loved them. Out of the mercy, God warned them first. So if they change, if they repent, and the destruction, the captivity can be avoided. So that warning comes from God's compassion. Oh. But to the foreign nation, there is no warning. If they do something wrong, then punishment is coming. So 25 to 32, the judgment against the foreign nations. So from section C, we can see the God we worship is the God of justice. So God will hold everyone accountable. God will hold every country accountable. So we should not think after I die, then everything finished. We should not think, if I do this, if I do that, nobody know. There will be no consequence. No. If we read the whole Bible, we know everything we do, God will hold us accountable. So because of this, the divine nature of God's justice, so there is a judgment against the foreign nation. And then from 33 to 48, the hope of restoration and spiritual renewal of the Israel. You look into God punishment the foreign nation and God punished the Israelite. There's a difference. Do you know what's the difference? When God punished the foreign nation, that punishment is to destroy. There's no hope there. But when God tried to punish, bring the justice to His chosen people, the purpose of God is not to destroy. The purpose of God is to bring them to repent, to turn back to God, so that God can show mercy to them again. So that is the reason, chapter 1 to 24, you can see the warning. And then, this is come from justice, right? And then, section C, you can see God's mercy, God's faithfulness. So even under captivity, they still have hope. Hope of restoration, hope of spiritual renewal of the Israelite. So God will never abandon His chosen people. He is a faithful God. So this is a structure. Helps understand the whole book in a more systematic way. Now the next one is the book summary. The book of Ezekiel summarizes, begins with the divine calling of Ezekiel in the era of captivity. So actually, Ezekiel was called in Babylon. Ezekiel was called when he was under captivity. So Ezekiel was commissioned to announce God's impending judgment on the rebellion nation. So this was a very difficult task. You know, everybody want to go everywhere to convey the good message. God love you. The blessing of God is coming. But nobody want to go everywhere to convey God's judgment. Because not only the message was not welcomed, but also the person was not welcome either. You
go, you come here, every time come here, all bring the bad news to me. Next time, don't come. Right?
So this was a very difficult task. So God commissioned him to announce God's impending judgment on the rebellion nation and the desolation of Jerusalem. You know, the center of the faith of the chosen people was Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, there was a temple. In the temple, there was what? Holy of Holiness. And there was an ark. And God always descended there to listen to the prayer of the Israelite, to bless the Israelite. So desolation of the Jerusalem means that to destroy it, the center of their faith. Oh. That typified that God already left them. Oh. So God allowed the Jerusalem being destroyed. And after Jerusalem had fallen, God's justice was done. Jerusalem was fallen and they were under captivity. And then Ezekiel's message turned to the Lord's consolation and hope of his people. This is exactly what we mentioned in section C. And they would express, they would experience revival, restoration, and glorious future. As the redeemed and perfected kingdom of God. Oh, so God's kingdom will revive. God's kingdom will be prospered. This is the promise of God for the purpose of the glory of God. So if we look into the whole book, the beginning of the book talks about the destruction of the physical Jerusalem. But if we read the last few chapters, then you are going to see that new Jerusalem, that kingdom of God, actually is something spiritual. It's not something physical. When we reach to the end of Ezekiel, you are going to understand that. So something very interesting, right? Ezekiel talk about destruction of physical Jerusalem. But in the end, he prophesied a spiritual kingdom is going to be revived. That was very glorious, very mighty. So the Jerusalem was destroyed, talk about the physical temple being destroyed. But the glorious kingdom, the most perfect kingdom, is going to be fulfilled. And that kingdom referring to what? The church in the New Testament. And especially the true church, the only one church of God. So Ezekiel, in the time spent, he was mentioned about the historical event from what was going to happen in his time. And he forecast what is going to happen in the future in TJC, before the end, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So because of this reason, we read the book of Ezekiel. If Ezekiel is irrelevant to us, if Ezekiel is only talking about the history of the Israel, then we are not the Jews. We don't have to study the book of Ezekiel. But the historical events itself have some spiritual meaning inside. So today, we are the chosen people of God. Spiritually speaking, we are like the Israelite. So we have to study the historic book and learn the spiritual teaching so that we know what should we do in order to help the kingdom of God become prosperous. Point B. The book contained, if we go through the whole book, summarize, a few things quite interesting. The book contained four visions, 12 symbolic acts and 5 messages in parables. This is try to help us to understand Ezekiel. 4 visions, or the vision was revealed to Ezekiel. Chapter 1 to chapter 3, Ezekiel inaugural visions. Second one. From chapter 8 to 11, the vision of corrupted temple. Vision means it's not something in material world. Vision means you see something in spirit. That's called vision. Vision see. Vision of dry bone resurrected. D. Vision of new Jerusalem. Almost everyone is something spiritual. Not in the material world. That's called vision. Then there are 12 symbolic acts. First one, symbolic act to rebellion's house. Second one, B, the seized Jerusalem. C, lying down on both sides. When we reach to chapter 4, you're going to see that God asked the prophet of Ezekiel, lie down on one side and lie down on another side for a few hundred days. It's not easy. Really not easy. Huh. Can you lie down on one side and sleep the whole night without turning around? Can anybody do it? You can do it? Are you sure? Oh, somebody can do it. And that's Chinese Kung Fu. Yeah. Well, when you sleep one side a few hours, you have to turn around, right? If you can lie one side until the daybreak, that your Kung Fu is pretty good. But Ezekiel's Kung Fu is even better. Lie down one side for a few hundred days. This is a symbolic act. So God asked him to lie down on both sides. Number D, a saint vegetarian diet. One day I went to the Trader Joe, and there was a bread, Ezekiel chapter 4, some kind of bread. Really, ingredient exactly the same. If you are curious, you go to Trader Joe to buy it. Oh, vegetarian diet. Huh? Number E, shaved head and bear. I know some of you have shaved your hair, right? But you are not Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel was God asked him to do some symbolic act, have some spiritual meaning inside. F, exile baggage. G, angels eating. H, grown with broken heart and bitter grief. J, death of Ezekiel's wife. His wife really died. So to be a prophet is really not easy. Needs God to strengthen him. J, writing on the stick. So this is a symbolic act. Number 3. 5 messages in the parable. Now, Bible uses a very simple our daily experience issues to illustrate some very important meaningful teachings. In chapter 15, there is the parable of useless vine. Chapter 16, there is a parable of unfaithful bride. Chapter 17, there is the parable of two eagles and a vine. Chapter 19, the parable of trapped lion. Chapter 23, two adulterous sisters. So, there are 5 messages in parables. So something spiritual actually can be understood from something very simple, which you experience every day. Now, this is the message of the Bible. Just like Jesus Christ, when he preached, he used a flower, he used a birds, he used the seed to explain the mystery of the kingdom of God. So one day, if you are assigned to preach, if you can preach like Jesus, that will be the best. Very simple message, but contain very profound teaching. That will be the best. Now, we look into the page A2. In the book of Ezekiel, there are few themes. If you go through the whole book for several times, then you can come up with few themes. And from the few themes, we can understand the divine nature of God. From the action of God, from the plan of God, from the interaction of God with man, then we can come up with a conclusion about God's nature. The first one, A, God's sovereignty. So what does that mean? Sovereignty is especially being used to an independent country. You know, if you travel to Africa, Africa predominantly were under the colony, either the Britain or the France. So right now, the continent of Africa can be divided into French-speaking country and English-speaking country. When they were under the British colony, they are under the control of British government. But after they become independent, they regain that kind of sovereignty. So just like a United States, an independent country. So the country had its sovereignty. So what does God's sovereignty mean? Which means nobody can force God to do anything. Nobody can ask God to do anything, right? And God, if he want to do something, he just do something. If he don't want to do something, he just want to do something. He has absolutely power to make decision and do this and do that. Not under control of anyone. That's called God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty actually comes from his authority. His almighty power. Number one, he will be known and acknowledged. So there are 65 times in the whole book mentioned, they will know that I am the Lord. So to the Israelites, the chosen people of God, sooner or later, they are going to know God is in control. So this is called God's sovereignty. How? Number eight. God will be revealed in the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. So in the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, then they will know there is God and God is in control and God was not happy about them. From something really happened, they know Jerusalem was not under their own control. Jerusalem was under the control of God. So because they realized the sovereignty of God, God was in control. So they will start to respect God. B, the nation will know
through his judgment.
We mentioned that chapter 25 to 32, right? God will judge the whole nation. All nation, a lot of them worship idol. But when they were being destroyed, at that time, they will know there is God, Almighty God. And the Almighty God brings the judgment to them. So they will fear God. Number six. God will be known through the restoration and spiritual renewal of Israel. So later on, God bring them back. It's almost a miracle. Just like we mentioned Cyrus. Cyrus was an atheist. Cyrus did not believe the living God in heaven. But a king of atheists give a command for the Israelites to move back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Why? Because God moved him. So through this kind of miraculous things happen, so the Israelites will know that God is in control. So this is God's sovereignty. Number two, God initiate and God control. You can look the whole book. Either God want to punish them or God want to allow them under captivity, or God wants to bring them back. God initiates everything according to his will, and God absolute in control. So this is the God we worship right now. This is the same God we worship. God has his own plan. God has his own timing. So God will initiate his own action to accomplish his plan. God will initiate his own action to fulfill his will. And God is in control in everything. So from the book of Ezekiel, we can understand this. Number three, he ran Ezekiel's service. So Ezekiel was chosen by God and was commissioned by God. So from the whole service, from the beginning, chapter 1 until the last chapter, you can see Ezekiel actually was working under the guidance and the control of God. So God actually ran over Ezekiel's service. So what does that mean to us? Even we serve in the church, right? It should be the God who in control of us. When we serve in the church, we should not we control myself. God controlling ourselves. So Ezekiel was commissioned by God to serve. B, the divine presence to Ezekiel's service from the beginning to the end. So without the divine presence, Ezekiel was unable to finish his service. It's impossible. So he encountered so many difficult things. But one thing is sure, if God does not allow, nobody will die. No. If God did not allow, Ezekiel will not die. Because God still had things for him to do. So God ran Ezekiel's service. Number four, he is free to judge and be gracious. So nobody can control his judgment. Nobody can control his grace. It is God himself, free to judge and be gracious. So this is called God's sovereignty. So after we know God's sovereignty, what is the most important in our life? To please God. Strive our best to please God. Number B, the covenant between man and God. So the whole book, you can see the God was a faithful God. Why? Because between God and man, there was a covenant. In the book of Exodus, I mentioned about the covenant. And after we Resume our next section. We are going to see what was a covenant. Let's pray in silence. Amen. 20 minutes prayer.